have to change the subject. Hunter Watts, 5 Watt Drive, 450 Watt Drive. $375, buy it now. Forget it.
Yeah, that's an odd... I've never heard of an amp that'll drive with 5 or 50. It's quite a range. What brand is it?
It's the Mirage B-320G. It's got a switch on the back. You could use it for an HT, or you could use it with a bigger radio. But mostly does 200 watts out. Got a cooling fan built into it and everything.
Yeah, I think I know the ones you're talking about. I thought they were two different amps. I thought they had one that you bought to use it for an HT or one you bought to use with a mobile radio.
Yeah.
How's it look? Good shape?
Guy says he's the original owner. Never has been used mobile. Guarantees every single part about it. He put a bigger amp that does over a kilowatt. When I looked up the one he did, it was an M2 or something. It's over a kilowatt, 2 meter linear.
Yeah, he must be a big VHF guy. Probably does a lot of sideband.
I looked up those amps. They go for high 2,000 and into $3,000 for that amp.
Going on the apartment. Give me a minute. Alrighty, on the lower level, looking at Mike City. Where is this amp located?
Atwater, Ohio.
Yeah, okay, well, it sounds like a good deal. I think those things go over 400, I'm not sure. New. I didn't realize they had built-in fans.
Yep, you turn it upside down. It's got a fan on it. It's got some pretty tall legs. DX Engineering lists it. They don't have it, but they list it for $499.95.
Wow, that's a pretty good deal if it's in good shape.
Well, I can tell you, not like some of the other junk I see on eBay. There's not even any dust on it between the heatsink fins.
Yeah, I know. I'm amazed at some of the pictures that people post of items that they say are mint or excellent condition. And, you know, if you enlarge the picture, the HD digital quality nowadays, you can almost count the dust specks on them. And you'll see all dust and crud around the switches, on-off switches. If you're going to post something, you got to figure somebody's going to look at it pretty close. You better make sure you clean it up a little bit.
Stuff I sold on eBay, all my old 11-meter stuff. Charlie, stuff that didn't work. I cleaned it, wiped it down with some furniture polish, some Pledge, just made it have a little shine. When they got it, it looked like new, but it was either for parts only, non-working, or it's sold as is. I cleaned every piece of everything that I sold.
Yeah, it looks like some guys just pull stuff out of the closet, take a picture of it, and throw it up on the internet for sale. They don't care much about how it looks. That's the first indication of, especially with an amp. I've seen some amps with a lot of dirt in the fins. Guys saying it's in mint condition.
I'm reading the power curve chart for this amp. When you're on the 5-watt scale for, input, 3 watts from an HT will get you a solid 200 out. A half a watt will get you 165. That's using the 5-watt side.
Sounds like this guy's, had this one a little while. many reviews are there on it? Couple? Or are there a couple of pages of reviews? 3.8 isn't all that great, though.
There's only a couple reviews. One's a 5.5, one's a 4.5, another 5.5, and another one. But that 0.5 knocked it down.
Yeah, well, you have to take that into consideration, too. There's only a few reviews, and guy gives it a 0. That really, like you said, it really knocks the overall score down. I'd read the individual reviews, see how happy the owners are. I mean, if you're interested, what is it, on eBay? You can't email the guy, but you can ask him a question.
Well, it's out of my range anyway, Charlie. I was just looking at it. I was wondering on how I could come up with the cash for it, but I would need that. I would need that power supply I got at home to run it. This one guy said he was using a 50 amp power supply to run that thing.
Yeah, just for 200 watts out, huh? I'm trying to think. It should tell you if you look around. You can find some specs on it. It'll tell you what the draw is. 50 amps is quite a bit for that. But I mean, if it's a solid 200 watts, I get about 160, 180 out of mine, and I'm running it fine off of a 35 amp.
According to Mirage's site, 13.8 and 25. So 25 amps ain't that bad, but I'd be pushing this 30 amp power supply that I got here.
Yeah, probably. I've got to decide what I'm going to do with my amp. I haven't used it in a while. I don't want it to just sit around. You just put it in the car. You see how small my car is. And I don't have a remote kit for it. Although, in the manual, I should bring it by and let you look at it. Got directions for making a remote on and off. But I can't make heads or tails out of it. Maybe you can.
N1LU KD2BOR. Yeah, I'd like to look at it. I make a simple remote. On and off. Maybe, I don't know what else you could do. I wouldn't worry about putting it into sideband mode or anything like that, because you're not going to be doing any sidebands in the car.
Yeah, and I'm not too concerned with using the preamp either. That's all I really want, is turn it on and turn it off.
That would be easy to do. You gotta run a heavy gauge wire to the back of your truck. What I would do in my case is I wouldn't buy anything. Get an automotive relay, an automotive toggle switch. And what I would do is use that. I turn on the relay, it'll give power to the amp. And when I don't want power to the amp, I shut the toggle switch off. Just leave the power switch on the amp all the time.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, they've got some other way of doing it, because they have a jack, I think it's a DIN plug on the back, into. Because they're telling you how to set it up so you can turn on the preamp, turn on the sideband. I don't need that, I just need on and off.
That's what I'm saying. A cheap homemade on-off switch. What you want to do is run it through the relay only because of the amperage draw of the unit. If you ran it through just a regular little toggle switch, you'd end up burning out the toggle switch.
Okay. So basically what I'm doing, the amp's always on, but I'm just shutting off power to it.
Exactly. Just like in your automobile. A lot of things are powered off of a relay. When you put your rear defogger on in your car, when you hit the button, that brings the battery voltage through a relay back to your grid. If you just had, like I said, a little toggle switch, the amperage draw would smoke that switch in no time.
I will have to discuss that. You'll have to tell me what I have to buy and how to set it up.
You ever plan on putting it in your car? You run the wiring, I'll design the switch for you. No big deal. I can put that thing together probably in about 15 minutes with a relay and a toggle. We just have to figure out where we're going to hide the relay and where you're going to put the toggle switch.
Well, the toggle switch would go up here with me, so I could turn it on and off. The relay could go in the trunk with the amp.
No, because that would be more extra longer wires you would have to run from the front to the rear. I imagine you'd be bringing the heavy gauge wire into your car somehow, running it under the rug into the back of the car. We would mount the relay up in the car somewhere where the wiring is coming through the firewall.
Oh, okay. My wiring doesn't come through the firewall. It goes through the port crevice, I guess you'd call it. And I've already got heavy gauge wire going to the trunk. Just tap it off of that.
How heavy?
I don't know. I think 10 gauge.
Well, we would be changing that. Running that length, but running that amp, I'd rather see 8 gauge. That's what I got coming through my firewall and going back to the 857.
I'll have to look on the internet. It looks like gas prices went up again. Jesus, Christmas. Internet for a spool or a roll cord. Red and black together. 8. I can find. All right, give me a minute. I'm here at the quick check. Let me put $20 in this car. 82 BOR in 1LU.
Hey, very good. I'm going to pull a truck in while you're doing that. 82 BOR. Listen, Charlie, I'll be right back. I'm going to do something real quick. 82 BOR.
And 1LU. Mobile. Bucks filled her up. That's good. Funny story, quick funny story. Yesterday I made spaghetti and meatballs. Not exactly a summertime meal, but they like it. And they always ask me to make it when they're around, so I made it. I also made some meatballs for Oliver. Nothing, you know, nothing weird in it, just not a lot of seasoning. Meat. I got whole wheat panko, breadcrumbs, and just a pinch of garlic. And one egg, and that was about it. I made those. I had those in a little baggie after they cooled off. They'll be treats for him. The rest was in the gravy. My youngest son came home, and I wasn't paying attention. I was busy trying to get the cleaned up so I could go visit my wife. I'm not eating home tonight. I said, okay, I'll put it in the refrigerator. You can have it as a midnight snack if you want. But do you think I can have a meatball? I said, sure. I figured he was going to go into the gravy pot and get a meatball. He took one out of the plastic bag and starts eating it. It's like halfway done with it. I said, you know what? Those are for the dog. And he spit it out. He goes, well, what's in it? Now, normally, what I would do is I would have ground up some dog food in the processor and use that instead of breadcrumbs, but I didn't, so lucky there.
Even if you did that, the dog food would not have hurt him at all.
No, not at all, but it, you know, would have been the thought of it. Pretty funny. I said, Matt, those are for the dog. Should have seen the look on his face.
I was just going to say that when you came back and said that. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall seeing that face.
Then when you said that, I thought there was like cat poop in it or something. Well, even, you know, if I made it with dog ingredients, the cat poop isn't usually one of the ingredients. And his face was right.
Oh, man.
But the dog loved them. But I don't give them because, you know, what I did is I ground up a whole beef brisket. I had one of the meatballs. They could have very good. You know, but they're not real healthy for you. I wouldn't eat. So I give them to the dog when he's a good boy.
And 1LU, KD2BOR. And if there was cat droppings in it by any chance, which I know there wouldn't be, the way a dog got bones, a dog wouldn't even have known the difference.
Well, when we were looking into adopting a dog, KBOR and 1LU, they asked if we had cats, and they said, you know, try to keep the cat boxes away from the dog, because apparently dogs find cat poop a delicacy.
As I just spit out my last sip of coffee.
Yeah, luckily he can't get to the cat's bathroom, because that's down in the basement bathroom. I've got a gate across the stairs going down to the basement. Can't go down there. So hopefully, by the time he's an older dog, he'll be out of that habit. So far, he hasn't done that. But I've talked to people whose dogs have done that on a regular basis. I mean, it would make it easier for me. I want him to clean the box out as often, but it might ruin his breath.
Well, not to get vulgar or get anybody sick on ham radio, but my lifetime growing up with dogs, puppies, when they 10 in the beginning, I'm going back many years ago, like when you were a young man, you were about the same age, when they used to get the worms, and They didn't know a lot about that back then. They used to tend to, if you know what I mean, their own.
Yes, yeah, I've heard of that as well. You know, worms. My sister-in-law, well, the girl that's in jail, her kids are living with sister-in-law. One of them has gotten worms on a number of occasions. Don't know how she gets it. My wife said that there's different ways of getting it. A lot of young kids get it from picking. Jeez, I hope no one's eating while picking their nose and eating it.
Nice. Came to an alley.
Hey, good morning, Chris. I never heard of that one, Charlie, and that last sip of coffee was just as tasty as the other one. Over to you, Chris. Good morning.
You turn the radio on and that's what I hear. Good job.
You weren't planning on having a midnight snack. Hey, Chris.
Yeah. Stuff like that doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother me unless I'm eating.
Even when I'm eating, it doesn't bother me.
We were eating dinner, and I used the word poop. Dinner table, my wife would freak out.
Part of my job is I have to do sewers.
Yeah, we've got a sewer trap over here. All the new maintenance guys, they get on that detail. And so they go in, you know, dressed in their hazmat suit, come out smelling like a dirty toilet.
They don't hire a contractor like Trap Sap?
I don't know. I don't deal with maintenance part, but they might because I haven't seen anybody going in there lately. It used to be a occurrence, but I haven't seen anybody go over that way, so maybe we do hire people. Actually, I know we hire somebody to pump it out once in a while. Maybe it seems to be in the summer. Because when they do that, the whole area stinks. Sounds like, you know, a toilet overflowed. Backed up or something.
Yeah, you're doing a little thing. You do a complete plant. three tractor trailers loads.
Jesus, that's a lot of fertilizer.
I used to work on the golf course. We would use a spray-on fertilizer that had been actually derived from human waste. Spray it on the green, and then you'd see the guy go over and pick his ball up, you know, 5 minutes later and put it in his mouth and clean his ball off. We used to always laugh.
I don't know what's worse, guy cleaning his ball with his mouth or the fact that it was rolling around on human waste.
I am referring to a golf ball.
Yes. Well, you know why dogs lick theirs. You ain't saying that. You know why dogs lick their balls? Because they can. Referring that if we could, we would.
Yeah, then you gotta put a Rodney Dangerfield joke in there. Why do husbands die before the wife? Because they want to?
Might have been Rodney Dangerfield that told that joke. Remember? Yeah, that whenever, you know, we're laying in the bed with a dog or whatever, now he's learning how to jump on the bed. I like kissing him on his nose, but when he goes down there and cleans himself, I tell him he's gonna come back in about an hour. Your nose kiss, because I'm gonna now.
Yeah. Other joke is Buddy Hackett.
What is the other joke?
What is a dog?
Go ahead.
Because he can.
Oh, okay, I see. That's the guy that said that, yeah. Possibly. I don't remember. It's been a long time. How you making out over there? Oh, Rocky, by the way, how much, what am I going to need? Enough of this gauge wire to go all the way to the trunk?
Yeah, when you get a chance, what's the model? Do you remember the model number of your ramp? I'll look up the amperage draw on it.
Give me a minute. Pick it up with Chris. I've got the model number phone somewhere.
All right, then I'll calculate the amperage draw for the peak and see maybe the 10 gauge you got going back there is enough. I just thought of that before, but I didn't bring it up. Hey, Chris, when you were saying something about that other comedian, I don't know how much you added to it, but you cut out for a second, probably with your push to talk.
Probably did.
So what was the line?
Why do husbands die before their wives do? Because they want to?
What was the next one you were going to tell?
The same one that Charlie said. Why do dogs lick their, you know, because they can.
Oh, okay. I thought you cut out. I wasn't sure.
I worked for a cabinet maker years ago. I was a teen. And we actually did work at Buddy Hackett's house. Like Tenafly or Englewood. I don't even remember. But the guy walked in and started telling jokes. And my boss said, could you please leave? We have work to do.
Well, I could see how that would have got you to slow up from work and listen to some of the guy's jokes. I guess anybody would have stopped working. Hey, Chris, yesterday I was working on this truck. A guy told me the AC, you probably heard of this, the AC wasn't cooling properly. And I knew he had somebody else put an evaporator core in his Dodge Dakota pickup. So I decided to put my Freon identifier on it that I bought many years ago. Well, thank God I did, or I would have contaminated about 20 pounds of Freon in my machine. The thing was 98% hydrocarbons in the system.
What your vehicle is it?
It was a 98 Dodge Dakota pickup. He had somebody else put an evap in it because I was very busy a couple years ago when he needed it done. And the guy didn't use the regular Freon. He used that bootleg stuff.
Yeah. He's going to do a job on all the O-rings.
Well, I have found out it doesn't attack anything that's got the green O-rings in it now. Like the R-134 attacked a lot of Fords when they were using the early Fords and early Chryslers when they had the black O-rings. But soon as I smelled the propane right away.
Yeah, you probably brought it to a place called Chico and the Man. Oh, my God.
What are you?
Go ahead, shall we?
I think it's a RFC 2-117, and the 20 watts in. 50 to 170 watts out. RFC 2-117.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one float around. Let me punch it up real quick before you go in and see if they say what the amperage draw is. The one guy on EHAM is talking about doing the adjustments like you did on yours.
Yeah, it was amazing to watch the current draw go down on the power supply when you tune that amplifier. Originally, it was drawing like 22 amps, something like that. And when I was all done with it, it was only drawing 19 amps.
19 amps? I'm not even going to calculate anything. You could use the 10-gauge going back. That'll be plenty.
Well, that's after I tuned it in the house. I don't know what's going to happen when I put it in the car. Hopefully, it'll still be pretty much the same. But, yeah, that's what it was for in the house, 19 amps.
I don't think it should be any different in the car. Once you tone it up. Nah, that 10-gauge wire can handle that. That car is not that long.
All right, why don't you, can you get me the relay and the toggle switch from Napa, and I'll pay you for them?
Yeah, no problem. I might even have a relay around here. I'll look, but if I have to buy a new one, they're not that much money, and I'll decide maybe we could get you a nice toggle switch that you could maybe put on the side of something with a piece of Velcro or something like that, because you're not going to... You know, you're not going to be tugging on it.
Cool. Yeah, well, the only thing I have to do is open the amp up and take it off of hard keying, because I have it keying with a negative voltage. Put it back on direct RF keying. Set up the radio. Key it brown. I'm going to key it just RF. Better if you do it the other way, but that means I have to go into the radio and figure out, I don't even know if this radio is capable of doing that. Sure it is, but I probably have to go right into the radio. A lot of radios will have a DIN plug or something on the back where you can get ground keying and amplifier. I think this radio has that. RF.
Looking at this, one guy said he got a little bit of about 170 watts out of it. What kind of wattage drive does that amplifier take?
Online I've been seeing 10 to 20, but I only put 10 in.
What's your radio that you're using in the car now do? For a drive, low and medium and high. I don't even know if you have a medium. What do you got, like 5 or 10 watts on low?
This has three power levels, 5, 10, and 50. So I would do it on 10. I would do it on medium. Actually, what I'm driving it with in the house is only doing about 7 or 8 watts. I'm still getting like 100 stick out.
Yeah, that's my dilemma, looking around for a amp. Your Linko only does about 5 watts on low. 20 on medium, 20 would be pretty good into a 2518 amp. It'll probably still get almost max power. But 5, I don't know what I'm going to get on one that takes a 10-watt drive, you know?
Probably like 100 watts. And that's, you know, that's mediocre, I guess. But yeah, you really want to get something that'll take at least 25 at about max power out. Okay, let me button up the shop here and get inside and stay over. I don't think I have to put my window shade in the window. But if I don't do that, I felt the bracket on this front panel one day. Every so often it gets so hot in here, it melts the blue on the Velcro and the front panel falls down. But I came in here one day and felt the back of the bracket, because it's a metal bracket. Almost burned my freaking finger, it was so hot. So I try to remember to put the window shade in the window. Plus it keeps the car a lot cooler. But anyway, I don't think I have to do that today. It looks like it's cloudy as hell out right now. Catch you guys a little bit later. KD2BOR, KB2NLA. This is N1LU, 73. Have a good morning.
All right, Charlie, 73. Chris, I'm going to say 73, but I'll be listening. I got my AC machine on the truck over here. I got to get some work done. Maybe I'll catch you on your way home, Charlie. Chris, I'll probably catch you during the day. KD2BOR, over to you, Chris.
All right, Charlie, you have a good one. And, yeah, Rocky, I got up to take a shower, so. Only time I get some good hot water around here. I'll be listening. KB2NLA. That station, try again. KB2NLA.
Nancy 2, Mike Alpha Charlie. Do a quick signal report.
Audio is fine. From what I'm hearing, it's a little on the low side, and it sounds like it might be clipping just a little bit.
Okay, appreciate that. I just put it in tonight, and I'm kind of tired. I'm going to hit the sack and play with it again tomorrow. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, other than that, like I said, just a little bit of a static in when you're talking, but very clear.
Okay, very good. My location, I'm in Bayshore, Long Island.
Very good. I'm in the town of Hawthorne in New Jersey, two towns over from the town of Paramus. If you don't know where that is, I could look out my down in my street and see the George Washington Bridge 11 miles away.
Okay, very good. I appreciate that. I'm exhausted. I got to get some sleep. I appreciate the report. I'm from MAC clear.
All right. You have a good night. You did pretty good, Rocky. It was about 49 miles from the repeater.
What, the last guy that was in there?
Yeah. And to MAC, Ken. Be sure.
Can you check and see how far Steve is from the repeater? He's out in Long Island, too, what the heck's this called, KB2-HTZ, I think. THZ, KB2-THZ.
42 miles.
Yeah, Steve has no problem. This repeater's got good ears. It's not like some other ones. Steve makes it into the 440 also. On the other band very well, too, from out there.
Yeah. Steve, he does good because he's in a good flat area. There's nothing really around him.
Yeah, it's not like me down here. I figured out where the this repeater is compared to where I'm sitting. You know where I am. I got a lot of obstacles in between me, but I make the repeater good. I don't know how to do that. Can you check me out and see how far I am from the repeater?
Yeah. I do it just by a quick calculation. I do the miles to me, and then I add 5.
Now, if you figure it out, you'll be figuring me out from Harrison, unless you're going to figure me out from Kearney. I'm probably about a mile from my apartment.
Maybe 17 miles.
So that explains it from Debbie's backyard, which she's about another mile closer than here, that I get into it pretty good on my HT in the backyard.
All right. My house is quiet. Let me go take a shower. KAB2NLA.
I wish you would. KD2VOR.
Diamond MO mount, had a base coil on it. A little while to get it to
tuned with the auto tuner, you know, start to press a button.
I never remote mounted a button for my auto tuner because it's very easy. I could be driving down the street, just reach behind, and I could hit the tune button. I could reach it, so I didn't bother going through all that happy stuff.
All right, let me clean up my clothes over here. Put my towel back in the bathroom. Get a cup of water. Be back in a few. KB2NLA.
All right, very good. I'm gonna go grab that antenna out of my truck. KB2BOR.
Later. Have a good one. KB2NLA.